It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. A series of 45 events through September aim to help convey why land conservation here in Wisconsin is vital. Wisconsin's Alliance for Land Trusts is called Gathering Waters and is leading the effort. Call in at any point with your question or comment, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Mike Carlson is Executive Director of Gathering Waters. Mike, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks so much, Kate. Great to be with you.
Good to be with you as well. Carol Abramson here as well, Executive Director of the Mississippi Valley Conservancy based in La Crosse. Carol, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Carol, we're going to jump right into events. There are two pollinator walks during Land Trust Days, one in La Crosse, other in Fond du Lac. Both are next month. What happens during a pollinator walk?
Well, on our pollinator walk, you will get the opportunity to be on one of our bluff prairies above La Crosse. And we have two leaders for this hike that are experts in pollinators and in prairie plants that help those pollinators to have shelter and food, the things that they need to survive.
How essential is land preservation to keep up pollinator populations, Carol?
You know, our pollinators are really struggling. We have lost a great number of species of bees over the last 25 years. More than 80% of the world's flowering plants need a pollinator to reproduce. That means our food as well. And so it's really important that we preserve land, that we set land aside for these pollinators. And then not just that, but that we work to restore that land to its native vegetation. This provides biodiversity across the land. The plants that these pollinators need to lay their eggs for the larvae to survive, to feed on, you know, it's shelter. Many of those pollinators may lay eggs late in the fall, and then they overwinter on those plants. So when they can be left undisturbed in the prairies, it's really beneficial.
Mike Carlson, jump in here on that native vegetation. What are some of the greatest threats to pollinators in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean, I think we continue to see a loss of habitat across wildlife habitat and habitat and for plants and animals around the state. We continue to see, you know, areas sort of being carved up really by kind of by poorly planned development. And really, you know, at Gathering Waters and in the Land Trust community, we believe that Wisconsin has some really unique and important natural, agricultural, and historic resources that should be conserved for future generations. And, you know, we also believe that having that healthy land and the clean water is, you know, are essential for both people and for wildlife here in the state.
Can you step back for a moment? Gathering Waters was established to assist land trusts in Wisconsin nearly 30 years ago, if my math is correct. What is a land trust?
Sure. Yeah. So I think it's really a nice opportunity this morning to talk to a broad audience across the state about land trusts, because I think a lot of folks aren't necessarily familiar with that term. So when Carol and I are using that word land trust today, or we might also use the word land term land conservancy, we're talking about nonprofit organizations that have a primary mission of protecting land. And land trusts across Wisconsin are about as varied as the landscapes in which they work. So in Wisconsin, we are fortunate to have just over 40 independent nonprofit land trusts, and really they range in size and scope. Some are focused on just one single lake or river or stream, while others are focused on multiple counties and even some that work statewide. So it's a wide range of organizations. Really, the land trust community has grown dramatically over the past 30 years. And you're right, we are actually going to be celebrating our 30th anniversary next year in 2024. When we were founded in 1994, there were just about a dozen nonprofit land trusts working here in the state. And that's grown again to just over 40 today. And that's been a big focus of our mission early on in our existence, was to really help in the creation of new land trusts. Today, we're really focused on the land trusts that do exist here in the state. And we have a kind of three primary ways that we go about our mission. We provide training and technical assistance and tools to our land trust members. We advocate for public funding for land conservation. And then finally, we really try to promote and raise the visibility of the great work that land trusts do around the state and the importance of land conservation. And that's really a big reason why we host and promote land trust days each year.
Mike Carlson with us, Carol Abramson, as we talk with two land trust advocates about events focusing on conservation around Wisconsin. And you can join in along the way at 800-642-1234. Carol, let's turn to monarch preservation. The National Wildlife Federation says monarchs have suffered a population decline upward of 90% in recent decades. And there's this event in September planning to talk specifically about monarch preservation with the Cedar Lakes Conservation Fund. How can people slow the decline of monarchs?
Well, there are a number of ways that people can help. Of course, pesticides have been a problem for a long time. The habitat that's most important to the monarch is the milkweed. And I know a lot of people now have been able to put some milkweed even in their backyard.
Yes.
That's really important, and it's easy to do. It grows and thrives quite easily. But the other big problem with monarchs and with all of our pollinators is climate change. We have seen, of course, the warmest temperatures ever on Earth this year, setting records, and they just continue on. These warm temperatures change the way our plants react. So some of the plants with the flowering plants may bloom earlier, which means when that particular pollinator would come into an area, the blooms may already be done, and that is detrimental. These plant or these pollinators really oftentimes, just like the monarch, they depend on a specific plant, and if it isn't there and available for them when they arrive and they're hungry and they need it, that is a big problem. So anything that we as an individual can do to help support the monarchs through helping with the plants that they depend on, the milkweed, but also doing our little part to help with climate change. Things like composting, growing some of your own food. If you can, perhaps putting solar into your home, perhaps it's an electric car. All those little things add up and they help. But the biggest thing that we can do is talk to our leaders because they can make the big changes.
Mike Carlson, can you talk about Monarch Madness, this event on August 26th, this international citizen monitoring system?
Sure. So this is going to be an event that's going to be hosted up at the Ridges Sanctuary up in Bailey's Harbor, Wisconsin. The Ridges Sanctuary is actually the oldest land trust in the state. They go back, to the mid-1900s. Really a great organization. If you've never had a chance to visit the Ridges, it's really a unique site along the shores of Lake Michigan in Door County. But they're really trying to draw attention to the fact that monarchs actually have a that we're, that monarch conservation is important to consider across borders. So they're actually going to be working in conjunction with an international citizen monitoring program by tagging monarchs before they head out on their long journey to Mexico. So I think a nice chance, I mean, the opportunity to actually participate in tagging us, a small insect like a monarch, and to imagine that it's then going to potentially fly on a route all the way down to Mexico is pretty thrilling. And then really, I think the chance to learn more about their life cycle and how important both kind of local conservation is, as well as regional and continental scale conservation.
Mike Carlson leads Gathering Waters, and Carol Abrahamson heads up Mississippi Valley Conservancy as we explore events underway around the state to highlight land trusts and organizations working to protect land through purchases or donations. You can call in with a question or comment along the way, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. A land trust is a community-based nonprofit working to permanently conserve land. And dozens of community events now and in coming months called Land Trust Days, they showcase this mission through hikes and kayaking, through trail building, more activities. Be part of this discussion at any point. Call in with a question. Share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have Mike Carlson here, Executive Director of Gathering Waters, Wisconsin's Alliance for Land Trusts, and Carol Abrahamson, who is Executive Director of the Mississippi Valley Conservancy. Carol, turning to the Ice Age Trail, Land Trust Day is expected to highlight three events where volunteers will maintain the Ice Age Trail. Can you tell us about what to expect from these events?
Volunteers are essential to maintaining and building trails for the Ice Age Trail. So those volunteers will get a chance to learn some new techniques. Sometimes those are really helpful if you want to go back and do some trail building on your own land. They'll be clearing trails, maintaining trails. I know the Ice Age Trail really values their volunteers, and so they will help you to learn what you need to do, give you the tools that you need, and I suspect some refreshments as well.
Mike, the Ice Age Trail Alliance says the organization is accredited by the Land Trust Accreditation Commission. How is the commission different from your organization?
Sure. Yeah, it's a great question. So it's probably important to note that there are not only land trusts in Wisconsin, but there's a whole kind of national movement of land trust organizations. So we actually have there's a national association called the Land Trust Alliance. They're headquartered out in Washington, D.C., and they actually have nearly 1,000 land trust members. So that's 1,000 individual nonprofits working across the United States to conserve land and protect these, you know, really valuable natural resources. The Land Trust Alliance, several years ago, they've developed something called Standards and Practices, which is really a set of best practices that every land trust organization is urged to follow. And, you know, we really are very serious about the fact that, you know, with the word trust in the name land trust really means something. And we want to ensure that, you know, land owners and members of the public really have trust in the work, the conservation work that we're doing, because it's intended to last forever. So standards and practices is a really important piece of that. Then for some land trusts, they choose to apply for what's called national accreditation. And there's actually an independent accreditation commission, and land trusts apply and go through a very rigorous process, kind of a third-party verification that they are in fact following standards and practices and really have the kind of the highest standards in the industry. In Wisconsin, we have, I think, 19 out of our 41 land trusts are accredited at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And that tracks pretty closely with at the national level. It's just over half, I think. It's not, the accreditation process alone is not necessarily intended to be the right fit for, you know, every organization. I think it's really when land trusts are kind of ready to dive into that and go through that. Again, it's very rigorous, but underpinning that whole accreditation process is this land trust standards and practices. And that's something that, you know, community-wide that we take really seriously.
And when you consider something like the Ice Age Trail that traverses multiple states, a continuity of ethic, I'm sure, is really important. How labor intensive is trail management and trail blazing for this, you know, more than 1,000 mile long trail?
Sure. Yeah. And actually, it is worth noting, at least for the Ice Age Trail, is somewhat unique as one of the national scenic trails, in that it actually only exists here in Wisconsin. So the terminuses for the Ice Age Trail are at one end in northeast Wisconsin and on the west end in far western Wisconsin. But it is, you know, the Ice Age Trail is protected and maintained by three partner organizations. So it's actually the National Park Service, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and the Ice Age Trail Alliance work hand in hand in the protection and in maintenance and trail building activities that occur. So much, though, of the, you know, the kind of the horsepower behind, especially the trail building, comes from Ice Age Trail Alliance volunteers.
Mm-hmm.
There's just no way that, you know, the public agencies or even, you know, the paid staff of the alliance would have sort of the capacity to do the amount of work that's needed to build this 1,000-mile-long trail. So volunteers are essential. And I've been, in the past, I've been out to maybe a handful of trail building days, and the Alliance makes it really, really fun. They do a great job sort of training folks in the morning, and then, like Carol mentioned, providing some really good food and refreshments throughout the day. And it's a real sense of community and camaraderie with folks that are out there doing that work.
Learning in the morning and have at it in the afternoon. Mike Carlson here, Carol Abrahamson, as we talk with two land trust advocates about events focusing on conservation around Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go to Robert in Sparta. Hi, Robert.
Hello. Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for having me. I have a question. As a private landowner with family land that had been agricultural land and over the past 40 years has been a part of the conservation management program, like being able to contribute to the state's biodiversity and have in the same kind of mission and ethics as you're saying with the land trust movement, I was wondering what are some of the ways that private landowners can best contribute to your goals overall in the next several decades.
Mike, do you want to start?
Yeah, absolutely. I think certainly there's a lot of work that private landowners can do to enhance, you know, wildlife habitat, whether it's things like the Conservation Reserve Program that was just mentioned that puts marginal agricultural land into permanent cover for wildlife and pollinators, whether it's, you know, best management practices on farmland or whether it's good forestry practices. You know, a little bit more than 80% of Wisconsin is held in private ownership. So I think if we're going to achieve kind of overall conservation goals, you know, for wildlife and other things, it's really going to be important that private landowners take part in that. Hmm. So really kudos to the caller for all the great work that he's doing on his property and really encourage others to, you know, really look into. There's, you know, several public agencies, Wisconsin DNR, the Natural Resource Conservation Service, and others that can really help get landowners started in some of that really good land management on their own property. For landowners that are looking at sort of more, you know, permanent conservation, permanent protection of their properties, I would recommend that they really reach out to their local land trusts and learn more about the mission and sort of the priorities of their local land trust. On our website at gatheringwaters.org, we have a sort of find a land trust page, and folks can, you know, really go in and see kind of what organizations are working in their area, and would very much encourage landowners to reach out to their local land trust to learn more about their options.
Carol, what would you like to add about private landowners?
Yeah, what I wanted to add is something that we maybe should have talked about earlier is what a land trust does is twofold. And so most of the work that we do is to work with these private landowners to permanently protect their land from future development through what's called a conservation easement. So at least 80% of our work is working with private landowners. They continue to own that land for as long as they wish. They can sell it, they can pass it down to family, they can do any of the things that they normally would do on the land. The conservation easement or conservation agreement really just extinguishes future development rights on the land.
And so we just want to pause right there. Land Trust leaders Carol Abrahamson of Mississippi Valley Conservancy and Mike Carlson of Gathering Waters. 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore events across Wisconsin to raise awareness about land trusts and the work of local conservation groups to protect, preserve, and maintain the natural integrity of land in the state. You can be part of the conversation at any point. Call in with a question or share a perspective at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Mike Carlson is Executive Director of Gathering Waters, Wisconsin's Alliance for Land Trusts, and Carol Abrahamson is Executive Director of the Mississippi Valley Conservancy. That's a group focused on preservation of Wisconsin's driftless area. Carol, your organization recently hit a milestone of preserving 25,000 acres of land in Wisconsin, and we were just talking there about conservation land easements and the relationships with private landowners being a big part of what you do. How do you make those partnerships successful and aligned with your mission?
Well, those partnerships with our private landowners are absolutely essential. And success is all about working together. So when we are working with a landowner who is interested in protecting their land, and remember, a conservation easement land protection is forever. So integrity is everything. We have to make sure that these conservation easements will stand up in court in, you know, the next 50, 100 beyond years. So we work closely with that landowner. It begins with a visit out to their land, looking at the conservation values that are there that they would like to preserve. And then we have them fill out what we call personalizing your plan. So what would you, the landowner, want to be sure happens or does not happen on your land? And that can be things like they have farmland. They want to make sure that that can remain farmland because they want to make sure that Wisconsin families have good food to eat in the future. But it could also be things like right now there is a house and they do not want to have other houses built. They certainly wouldn't want to have subdivision or any sort of quarries or mining happening. They wouldn't want to have their forest clear cut. There may be some harvesting of trees that is allowable because that is necessary, but they don't want to have it over harvested. They may want to have prairies maintained. So again, we work really closely with them to learn what they want to have or not have happen on their land. And that's all built into this agreement that is legal and binding and forever.
Mike, we heard from Karen sent along an email asking about putting their property into a land trust. And Karen has tried contacting the Minnesota Land Trust, but is having trouble getting someone on the phone. What should Karen know about putting property into a land trust?
Sure. Yeah. And it's maybe worth noting that each state has a kind of a different model for land trust. So again, in Wisconsin, we have sort of a more community-based model with just over 41 nonprofit organizations. In Minnesota, it is a fairly different model. They have what's more like a statewide land trust called the Minnesota Land Trust. There are a few smaller, more local land trusts in Minnesota, but it's primarily statewide. But I think there's a couple of points that's are, I think, worth noting and keeping in mind. One is that, you know, land trusts as nonprofit organizations, really mission-driven nonprofit organizations, they really have to have a focus and be strategic about the kinds of properties that they're protecting and where they're doing that work. They can't possibly do it all, right? It has to be focused on what sort of the conservation priorities that they as an organization are focused on. But that being said, it's also, you know, there's really sort of only so many you know, landowners that a land trust can work with in a given year. And I think having some persistence and some patience will really pay off. And you know, maybe in the current calendar year, that property kind of isn't the right fit for the land trust to focus on, but maybe it could be in the subsequent year. So I would just, again, recommend that folks are persistent and patient, and really, I think, trying to start a dialogue with your local land trust to better understand kind of the mission and how your property might align with that.
Carroll Land Management will be on display when the Driftless Area Land Conservancy is holding this land management tour in Belleville on August 12th. What does that tour plan to show?
I'm going to refer to Mike to speak about that.
He may
be more familiar with what they're planning to do that day.
Sure. Yeah, happy to. So, Driftless Area Land Conservancy, their service area is actually just south of Carroll's organization. So, Mississippi Valley Conservancy is headquartered in La Crosse, and then Driftless Area Land Conservancy is headquartered down in Dodgeville. And both working in sort of the Driftless region, but just different parts of it. So, yeah, Driftless Area Land Conservancy, they're going to be hosting a land management tour on what's known as the Spring Valley Tract, which is one of their newer nature preserves that they actually own outright. So it's not, in this case, it's not a conservation easement, but the land trust actually, or the land conservancy actually owns this piece of property, and they're managing it to try to restore some of the native habitat. My understanding of that tour is that they're going to have some real land management experts and consultants and staff on hand. And I mean, some of the best of the best in the business here. So it could be for, you know, private landowners and others among your listeners, this particular tour, I think, could be a neat way to network and connect and learn from some of the experts in the field of land management.
When I'm out on a tour like that, what should I pay attention to?
Sure. So, you know, just I think in general, I just wanted to mention this about land trust days. Like, you know, what's better than summertime in Wisconsin, right? This is like, I hear so many people say, like, why would I go away in the summer? Because it's so just incredible here. And and to me, that's, I think, one neat thing about land trust days is that it sort of provides opportunities to explore in July, August, and September in pretty much every corner of the state. There's something for everyone, and there's something in every corner of the state. So I'd say, you know, what to kind of keep in mind or keep an eye out for on each Land Trust Day's event is somewhat dependent on kind of where you are in the state and what the focus of the event is, because there is, as you noted earlier, quite a range, you know, pollinator hikes and seed collecting, learning about land management. There's a sea kayaking event and other kind of themes. So I think really sort of understanding that each of these events is going to have a slightly different focus and an opportunity to learn new things is important. And then also, again, just realizing that we have so much diversity across the landscape here in Wisconsin, and these Land Trust Days events are a neat way to learn about kind of conservation that's happening in each corner of the state. Finally, I would just add that these events are also just a really great way to learn more about land trusts and what they do. And whether you're someone that just cares about, you know, protecting Wisconsin's, you know, water, wildlife, and way of life, or whether you're a private landowner that is interested potentially in working with a land trust, this is just a nice chance to meet either land trust staff or volunteers or board members out on the sites that they're protecting.
Mike Carlson there. We have Carroll Abrahamson. They're land trust advocates looking at events focusing on conservation, preservation around Wisconsin. You can join in at 800-642-1234. add your question or a thought to the conversation. Let's go to Chris in Stratford now. Chris, hi.
Good morning. This is me.
Hi, Chris. Go ahead. We can hear you.
Okay. I was calling to find out if there was anybody interested in acquiring milkweed seed, because I have a lot of it in my horse pasture. And as much as I love my monarchs, they are a huge competition with the grasses. And so last year I had noted that there was a place in Wood County that was interested in them, but they only wanted them from their county. And I can understand if it's a regional thing, maybe, I don't know, but I'm in Marathon County and I have a very high concentration of them in a very small area. If there'd be any landowners or somebody that would be interested, I would appreciate sharing the seed as opposed to just disposing of it.
Chris, thank you for that. And we do have comments coming in here along those lines. Patty in Bloomer is concerned that, you know, they're not anti-monarch, but they're concerned about how much milkweed is spreading in the region. And Robert from Whitewater also wants some advice on milkweed seeds and ensuring that they are native to the state. Carol, insights there.
Well, I would suggest if you're looking to give away your milkweed seeds, talk to your county conservation office first. They may need or want them, or they may know of people who want them. You can also talk to the DNR and see, a lot of times they're collecting seed for redistribution. Yes, keeping it local can be important. So I like that she's thinking about that. When milkweed becomes a problem, and I understand that, I'm actually a farmer myself, just being able to take those seed heads off can help with the spread of it. Yes, it spreads underground as well, but you can help in that manner. And then share it with some of your neighbors or friends who may be able to keep it a little more controlled in a smaller space. But it is important. We don't want to just go out and spray and eradicate it, because, you know, that's what happened in the past, and that's how we got to the point that we're at.
Mike, as we talk about seeds, there are several seed collection planting events in September. How is seed collection tied to conservation?
Sure. So I think first, these seed collecting events are a nice way to learn more about our native plant species and native habitat. It's a really important way that land trusts work with their partner organizations to be able to do more of the native plant or native habitat plantings on different sites, whether it's on land trust nature preserves or working with private landowners. It's a really nice way to help kind of increase the amount of native plant stock that's available out there. So I'd say both a learning opportunity, and there's a real practical side to it in terms of how that seed is then used. And I think that is an important point about, I think a lot of organizations really do focus on having a local seed source, and these kinds of seed collection events are one great way to generate that.
Conservation leaders Mike Carlson of Gathering Waters and Carol Abrahamson of Mississippi Valley Conservancy are guides to dozens of events being put on by land trusts around Wisconsin in coming months and showcasing the land protection work of these groups. Call in with a question, add a comment, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Land trusts around Wisconsin host dozens of events to showcase land preservation efforts and how local conservation groups protect Wisconsin's natural beauty. You can be part of the conversation. Call in with a question or comment at 800-642-1234. Carol Abrahamson is Executive Director of Mississippi Valley Conservancy. Mike Carlson is Executive Director of Gathering Waters, Wisconsin's Alliance for Land Trusts. Let's bring in Karen now in Hurdle. Karen, hi.
Hi.
What would you like to share?
Question.
Yes.
Oh, okay. We have a wetlands on our property, a quite extensive wetlands, and our neighbors blocked the stream from the lake into our property because they own that access point. So we're not quite sure what to do now. You know, it's killing our wetlands. We didn't have all the ducks and the frogs and the other things this year. And so we're just really concerned. We don't quite know where to go from here.
Karen, thank you for that. Carol, what are your insights about maintaining wetlands and when adjacent property isn't in on that type of mission?
Well, wetlands are extremely important for a number of reasons. Biodiversity, of course, but the fact that wetlands, when we have some of our historic large rains, those wetlands are the filters. They filter all of that water that's coming down so quickly before it hits the streams. So they're very, very important habitat, and they're important for clean drinking water. I would suggest that she may want to contact either the Department of Natural Resources or her local county conservation office, and they can probably help her with the next steps in dealing with the adjacent landowner.
Mike, anything else you would like to share there?
Yeah, just maybe add that another one of our statewide partner organizations is the Wisconsin Wetlands Association, and they have some really good resources specifically for, you know, landowners that have wetlands on their property. And I would recommend reaching out to them as well. They may have some ideas. They're real experts in this area.
Let's turn to the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program. Gathering Waters says that, you know, part of your mission, Mike, is to ensure it's well-funded program, helping fund conservation land purchases across the state. Does the program have enough support from state government to adequately further the efforts of land trust conservation in the state?
Yeah, it's a really important question. For your callers, maybe they aren't familiar with the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program. It's a state funding program that's been around since the early 1990s. And the program was actually created through a very bipartisan approach. It was at the time Governor Tommy Thompson working with Democrats in the legislature to create the program and that dedicated funding for conservation. And over that time period, the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program has been integral in protecting, you know, some of the most iconic kind of public lands here in the state, you know, state parks, state wildlife areas, but it also provides really important grant funding to local governments, local communities, and to nonprofit conservation organizations. The funding for the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program has sort of ebbed and flowed over time. The highest point of the program was around 2010 when it was funded at $86 million a year. Currently, it's authorized at $33 million a year, but it's worth noting that, unfortunately, just in 2022 was actually the lowest amount of funds that went out the door, and was only $14.1 million. Hmm. So that, to us, really says, hey, you know, something's not quite right here, and, you know, this is, again, a really popular and successful program. And it's essentially at a 20-year low in terms of the amount of funding that's been able to go out to projects. Unfortunately, you know, one challenge that I think is really important for your callers to understand is that that we have seen some real challenges with what's known as sort of the legislative oversight process. So the legislature, state legislature's Joint Committee on Finance has an opportunity to basically have oversight over projects that are over a certain dollar threshold. So over $250,000 mm-hmm. or any project north of Highway 64. And unfortunately, we've seen through that process more and more often that members of that committee will actually object to funding and will block funding. And this may come as quite a surprise to some of your listeners, but they're actually able to do that anonymously, and they're able to do that without having any public rationale for why they're objecting. And that's what we think has really been driving some of the challenges for this program and why the amount of funding that's going out the door has been really diminished. And so we're advocating that oversight process be reformed, and that we bring some transparency, some accountability, and some predictability back to this process, because it's not working for the people of Wisconsin right now.
Carol, we're going to actually shift gears here and land on forest bathing. I know that's a big shift, but, you know, Land Trust Days is highlighting a forest bathing event in August. What is it?
Well, forest bathing started in Japan, actually. And it's really just the act of going out into the forest, and you're not out there to hike or run or, you know, do bird watching, the things that we oftentimes do in the forest. You're really there to immerse yourself. What you're going to want to do is find a comfortable area you can stand, you can sit, you know, maybe you want to sit on a rock or a log, and then just listen, just let your senses take over. Breathe in the clean air, you know, the fragrance that are in the forest. Listen to the sounds of the birds. Maybe there's some rustling in the bushes or the leaves of the understory. You might hear a trickling stream. Think about the textures, the shapes of leaves, all of the different the texture of the mosses and the bark on the trees, and then start to touch some of those things. What does that soft, fuzzy moss feel like compared to maybe a drier moss on the side of a tree? What does the bark feel like? So you're really trying to immerse yourself, just be still and let this forest bathing wash away your stress. It is really good for your health, both your mental and your physical health. Japan has done a number of studies that show that it improves your sleep quality, your mood, your ability to focus. It lowers your stress level. They, in fact, will write prescriptions, health prescriptions from doctors to forest bathe.
Wow. Well, Carol and Mike, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks
You're
so much,
welcome.
Kate. Appreciate it.
Mike Carlson, Executive Director of Gathering Waters, Wisconsin's Alliance for Land Trust. Carol Abrahamson, Executive Director of the Mississippi Valley Conservancy. We have a link to Land Trust Days, wpr.org/mornings is where to find it. And for disclosure, Gathering Waters and Mississippi Valley Conservancy, they are business sponsors of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.